Thank you, Christopher, for opening our service with There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. And we want to thank Roman Height for reading our scripture this morning from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And we want to thank Alan and Corey coming each Sunday and videoing our service so it can be live to you who are listening. And we praise God that this is June the 14th, and this is Flag Day, so honor our flags in memory of all the history in the past that helped us to get where we are today. And we welcome you to Versailles Baptist Church, and I'm Pastor Mike Cantrell, and we thank you for joining us this morning. And we want to pause and go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for this time together. And thanking Him for His many blessings. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You this morning that we have gathered again in Your presence on this Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And we thank You, Lord, that Your presence is always with us. No matter where we are, what we're doing, You are always with us. Lord, thank You, Lord, that we can honor Flags Day and the history of our nation. The history of our church, Lord, that You ordained, created, and put us in the midst of all this that's going on within our world, that we might make a difference. And we pray, Lord, that our lives will shine for You and that others will see Christ in our lives as we worship You and as we praise You and as we fellowship in Your name. We praise You and thank You in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I'll be preaching from Isaiah chapter 54, verses 11 through 17. And the message is entitled, A Promising Future. Looking at the history of Israel, along with our history as a people, as a nation, we have a lot to be thankful for, and we go through a lot of different circumstances and situations in our life, and what Isaiah has to share with us is very relevant for us today as we see the things going on within our world, enemies or hardships or circumstances or situations that come up in our lives, and all we have to do is go to the scripture, and the scripture tells us we are to trust in the Lord. He'll give us the peace, He'll give us the understanding, discernment, and as we listen to Him and do His will and live in His righteousness, we will prevail in His name. So, giving you an introduction or background of this passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11 through 17. In the midst of adversity, God speaks through Isaiah to foretell what I would call a renewal, a revival, or a flourishing time to come in the life of Israel. So, however bad people of God's present situation, no matter how bad it can be, the future before them is incredibly bright and secure, according to what Isaiah is picturing for us, for the reunion of Zion, which is Jerusalem, with the ways of God, brings material and spiritual blessings. So God establishes His disciples of His people in His righteousness. So God is in the recovery and what I would call reproduction business, and He wants us to live in the light of His resurrection and promises. So, we can, because He promises to guard us in His righteousness and keep us secure. So, the first thing that Isaiah points out to us here in verses 11 and 12, he says, we have a precious rebuilding of a nation. So in verse 11, follow along with me as I begin to read. It begins to present the coming change in the situation of Zion, the things that's going to happen in their future. And also, we can relate to that as well in our day and time now and our future as well. So in verse 11, it says, "O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set you a stone in a timony, and your foundations will lay in sapphires." So Zion, the afflicted city, had been through many troubles, and I would also say they had a lot of instability, and it here is called storm or storm tossed. So no one had comforted her. And to understand where Isaiah is coming from, you could read from Lamentations chapter 1 and verses 2, 9, 15 through 17, and then also verse 31, but that's Lamentations chapter 1. And it explains what they were going through, that they were not being comforted, and they were being stormed or storm-tossed, as Isaiah points out here. So the Lord is certainly aware of the concerns of his people and has compassion for his people, Israel, and us as well. So the Lord would build up the city with stones made of precious gems, symbolic of his care of the precious Zion, the city of Jerusalem. So it is intended to represent what I recall a contrast between who we are and who we will become, between what we have experienced and what we will experience in our life. So visualize this. Standing on the hilltop of heaven, God sees storms of affliction that have threatened and what I would call tossed you, as Isaiah points out here. For every wave or every pitch, every buffeting is discerned and is also felt by God. So the Lord too has sailed through many stormy seas and is acquainted with suffering, our suffering. And yet he was without sin when he was here on earth and went through sufferings and afflictions and hardships that he underwent. So, though not comforted by man, you will be consoled by what I would say our divine comforter, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he promises to lay a foundation and to rebuild your life, as just like he is, Isaiah is saying to Israel, your life is going to be renewed, it's going to be rebuilt. So he will spare no setting, however costly, no stone, however precious, when he rebuilds you for eternal life. So remember to hope in God, who will see you through the storms and comfort you. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And if you have time, read that today, and you'll get a picture of what Isaiah is saying too about our comfort comes from the Lord. Secondly, it's established in righteousness. Our life should be in a pattern, inner flow, just like Isaiah is talking about that will happen when Israel turns to God or looks to God or seek or focus their lives on him. So in verses 13 and 14, verse 13 contains the promise and peace of a discipleship. So follow along with me with verse 13. All your sons will be taught of the Lord. you hear what I said there? All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. So, what does that mean? I picture it this way. Peace or well-being comes from a right relationship with God. That's how we get it. And hear me here on this. There's no way to have a relationship with God without being taught by God. Through His Word, through prayer, and through just listening to His voice as He speaks to you, and when you meditate upon His goodness. So, God would have us to learn His ways that we might be transformed into His precious character by His Holy Spirit. So as a result, as Isaiah is painting this picture for us, Zion's sons would possess an abundance of well-being and peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 tells us this. Also, Colossians, as that verse that was read this morning in chapter 3, verse 15, talks about this, our well-being and the peace that we have in the Lord. So such peace only comes to those who know the Lord and are His disciples. In verse 13, now, as verse 13 stated, I want to say that again, I'm in the millennium, as verse 13 states it, the children of God will be taught by the Lord Himself and will enjoy His peace. What an awesome time that will be for you and me. And for those already enjoying that today, how awesome that is, how wonderful it is. That in itself will be glorious. Now let's look at verse 14. It teaches that real security is established in righteousness. You know, Abraham was known by his righteousness. So Isaiah is teaching us how we can live in righteousness, how our security, real security, is in His righteousness, in God's. In verse 14, it says, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. See, that's a promise. That's a promise from God. See, righteousness is a practice of right thinking and behavior because of a right relationship with God. See, God promises that righteousness will bring about security. And I wish I had time this morning to read from chapter 33 and chapter 46, 58, and 62 of Isaiah. But if you can write those chapters down and read them later, you'll understand better about God's promises for righteousness, and it will bring security in your life. The promises of security speaks to three communities of faith. And you might want to write these down because they are very relevant for us today. So first, it spoke of the exiled community. Israel was in exile. And when it talks about the betrayer or the exiled nation, that would have been Babylon. So how precious all of these promises must have been to them in the years when their very existence as a people seemed to be threatened from one day to the next. And secondly, it speaks to us today. It is the righteousness who secure in the love and the good purposes of God. Now, it's the security that holds them fast, even when the world is falling down around them. Again, going to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26 tells us about that. This changing world has no security. As we see it, it has no changing security. This world doesn't. All the things pass and it fades. All the old and all the comfortable is replaced with the new and strange. You know, if we look at security here on this earth now, we will never find it. But those who have submitted themselves to the Lord, becomes His disciples, in whom peace and righteousness have to dwell, can rest in the eternal purpose of God and is undisturbed. See, that's where our security lies. It lies within the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, these promises speak of the end of history. See, Isaiah is covering it all in this latter part of chapter 54. When time and change shall be no more. That's where Isaiah is going with this passage of Scripture here this morning. When the Creator will call all things to the end, and a holy city, the congregation of those made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And we could read about that in Revelations. Paints a beautiful picture of that, the Lamb, blood of Christ, and which you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Now, in the second half of verse 14, Isaiah the prophet commands oppression and terror to be distant from the righteous, so they no longer fear, for the Lord will protect them from their troubled lives. If you have time this today, read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, and Peter himself talks about this very thing as Isaiah is relating to us, that no one should have any fear when they are protected by the Lord, especially if you have a troubled life. So our prayer needs to be, Dear Lord, speak this command over me for my security, for my faith, for my trust in you. And then thirdly, there's a heritage of righteousness. And Isaiah talks about that here in verse 15 through 17. Verse 15 says, and it contains another assuring promises. See, the latter part of this chapter talks about a lot of promises, and we need to claim those in our lives. So, verse 15 says, if anyone fiercely assails you, it will not come from me, what God is saying. Whoever assails you will fall because of you, because I'm protecting you, because your security is in me. So, verse 15 says, whatever trouble may come to Israel, God will not have sent it to them as a mean of judgment or construction or destruction, which was the case surrounding the events in the exile when they were exiled in Babylon. Although God is in control of history and nothing happens outside of that control, outside of God's control. Now, think about this. We live in a fallen world where trouble comes to all people, just not some, but all people. Trouble comes to every one of us. So our conflict is neither a sign of retaliation or discipline, but merely of the patience God is allowing of what I would call the will of man, or free will of man, the cause and effect of the world to take their natural course as we see happening before our eyes today. Everybody has a free will, so everybody with the cause and effect is doing what they want to do, whatever they think is right in their own mind. But the Bible calls that when people do things that are wrong, that out of God's will, then they are deceiving themselves. And that's what the picture that Isaiah is painting for us today. Now, as long as you and I live on this earth and strive to please God, we will have enemies. Jesus told the disciples that if you follow me, if you take up your cross and follow me, people are going to hate you. They're going to be your enemies because I stand for righteousness. I stand for what is good and good and in life. So God is saying, don't worry about them or what they do. Just be established in my righteousness. So your enemies shall surely fall. That's a promise God gives, not only to Israel, but to all mankind who trust in him. And verse 15 states that there is no doubt about it, they shall fall because of you, because you are my people. Now, God states that all instruments and agents are at his disposal and under his control. In verse 16, follow along with me as I read it. Behold, I myself have created the smith, in some translations it will say blacksmith, and we all know what a blacksmith does. He works steel, he makes things, and out of hot rolled steel and fire coals. And it says, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. Talk about Babylon. So since God is the creator who creates not only the warrior or the destroyer, Isaiah is saying that no part of creation is exempt from God's purposes, but all things will serve the purposes of God. I like what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Let me say that again. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Also, he restrains the wrath of his foes and surrounds him with a rock fortification. Now, in verse 17, it represents a conclusion of this chapter, which says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So in this final verse, verse 17, it tells us that God promises protection. He promises security for those who walk uprightly with him. The end of verse 17 is what I would call a summation statement of this whole chapter. This is an important verse right here. This is a new heritage, not just what I would call a promised land, but a promised security. So peace and safety are the heritage and inheritance of those who trust in the Lord. Let's look at the word vindication. It's translated in the same way or in the same word as righteousness, as in verse 14 that I read earlier. So the righteousness of the people of God is from the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, And he really is the only righteous one. He is the one who makes us righteous as we trust in him. As we have that relationship with him, we become righteous because he is the only one that is truly righteous. And in conclusion, as the servants of the Lord, this promise is also for us. What we have looked at here today, as Isaiah is painted this beautiful picture of righteousness, of peace, of vindication, all of this applies to our lives today, and we can claim it as a promise, just like Isaiah did and pointed out to Israel. But it's not our own righteousness that qualifies us to claim it. I want you to see the difference here. Rather, it's because that we are righteous, we are in the righteous one, and that's Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And remember this one thing. Peace will never come to those who do not appreciate what they already have in Christ Jesus and his promises. Let me say that again. Peace will never come to those who do not appreciate what they already have in Christ Jesus, and may I add, and his promises. This is an important message from Isaiah, and it is very relevant again for us today in our life as we see everything that's going on within our world today, our circumstances with this COVID-19, with all the other confusions and things that's happening in our nation. This is very relevant for us to see as Isaiah is pointing out the future, our future, and our future is really in Christ Jesus. He's in control of all things, and we can take that promise and live with it and be secure. Let us pray. Father God, again, we thank you for the message you've given us today through Isaiah, through your word. Your word is inspired. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who speaks the truth into our hearts as we read it, as we study it, as we rely upon our security, which comes from you, the peace that passes all understanding. It all comes from you. And this morning, Lord, is anyone that's listening, anyone that's troubled about anything, Lord, as long as we keep our eyes on you and we trust you and believe in you, believing is seeing when we read your word. As Jesus spoke to Thomas, believing is seeing. And we believe your word, we trust upon it and believe in it. Lord, we can have that security in our hearts. And Lord, we know that you're in control of all things. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us and you care for us. And you would see us through the troublesome times in our lives. And Lord, set us on solid ground. Lord, thank you for this day again. And we praise you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to our service today here at Versailles Baptist Church. We'd love to hear from you, talk with you. You can go to our website, Versailles Baptist Church, or our Facebook, Versailles Baptist Church, Indiana. Bless you, and have a wonderful day.